And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Holiday season, so definitely hit up Skip for all your food delivery needs. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much. Don't forget Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. I'm dedicating today's podcast to one of the best fantasy hockey players of all time, Alex Ovechkin. And with that in mind, we bring in the one and only from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. It's Jake Hahn. What's going on, Jake?
Not too bad. I thought you were going to say me, Nick. I thought you were going to say one of the greatest.
That's why I paused. Of all time,
Jake Hahn. And then I was getting excited for this great intro, but you go to Ovechkin. But no, I'm happy to be here, guys. Always good talking to you and Pete and breaking it down. I hope you guys are enjoying the season so far. It's been an interesting one.
We are. And that's why I paused for effect. But Alex Ovechkin, that is the big story to me. I'm sure we'll get to him a bit later on. But just your general hand on things here in the fantasy world. You know, we go back and forth pretty much on a daily basis. It seems like the landscape has shifted a lot the last little while, whereas you look at the waiver wire, guys, like there's nothing available, Jake. It's crazy.
Well, the league to me seems so top heavy now, like especially with some of the good teams. You're looking at a select 2-3 guys on each team where they're going to get all the power play time. If you watch a power play, I know you guys watch all these games. First unit's out there for a minute 30, minute 40. If they don't score, the second unit maybe gets 20 seconds. So I just think that the league has become so top heavy. If you don't have those top end players in fantasy hockey, it's really hard to mine value from the waiver wire because these guys just don't get a lot of power play time. Maybe you get something even strength. Maybe you get a decent line assignment, but you're kind of tied to that line assignment. So I think it just speaks to the fact that you got to kill your draft or you have to be able to figure out a trade and work your team that way. But you have to be able to hit on your picks come draft time because it's really going to cost you in the season. You're not going to be able to salvage your season on the waiver wire, maybe as much as you used to.
I got a solution to your waiver wire needs. Hit up the Washington Capitals. I'll circle it back to Alex Ovechkin and his monumental performance the other day, having the hat trick. Shout out to Michael Leboff for a nice call on the Action Network collab show, where he pretty much said you could get some incredible odds on Ovi to score a hat trick to hit 800. And that's exactly what happened. So a major props there. But fantasy wise, Jake, you can tap into the Capitals through a lot of different avenues down in DC right now. It's pretty fun. Connor Sheary is only like 5% rostered. He's playing on Ovi's line with Dylan Strome. And then on separate line, you have Anthony Mantha really heating up as well.
Well, it's funny because Ovi's taking so much oxygen right now, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy just hit 800 goals, and we're not going to see someone hit 800 goals in the NHL for a very, very long time. So he deserves all the accolades that he's getting, all the media coverage that he's getting. But quietly, while all this is going on, Washington's winning games, and they're kind of creeping their way back into this thing in the Metropolitan Division. The Eastern Conference is stacked, and there's a lot of teams that have kind of run away early in the season. But Washington's getting back into this. I don't think too many people are really talking about it because everybody's talking about Ovechkin. You mentioned a few guys there, Pete, and Tom Wilson as well seems to be rounding a corner. I don't know what the timetable is exactly on him, but I know he's starting to skate. It looks like he's going to be nearing a return. So I do think that there's starting to be some fantasy value in the Washington Capitals, assuming you get a decent line combination. You mentioned guys like Connor Sheary who get that great line assignment, maybe get a little power play time. TJ Oshie's been pretty good since he came back from injury as well. So I do think the Caps are fantasy relevant, and I'm interested to see what they do with Tom Wilson when he's healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, even when Ovi scored 800, somehow, some way, Nick Backstrom appeared from some doldrum. We haven't seen him in a while, but he's also a secondhand look when it comes to the fantasy season. I'm glad you brought up Mantha because he's doing all this with minimal power play work, right? He's playing with Milano and Kuznetsov, I guess, on the second line, last four games, 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points. Another guy, Pete, that we've talked about a lot the last little while is Charlie Lindgren, who I think has become a must start with Darcy Kemper on the shelf, right?
I was just going to say 5 straight wins for Charlie Lindgren. Remember last year when all the goalies in St. Louis got injured and he went 5-0-0 the third stringer? He's doing it again. Can you believe that? For a different team. So yeah, Charlie Lindgren, his value will probably diminish once Kemper comes back from injury, because Kemper, even when the team was bad, he had like a 915 plus save percentage, right, Jake? So maybe it's not where you go all in on Lindgren, but for a third or fourth goalie streamer, there are a few better options out there than him right now.
It's funny. Lindgren was one of my sneaky plays coming into the season. I'm in a couple of really deep leagues where you got to get greasy with some of the goaltenders you're drafting at the end of this thing. And Lindgren was one of my last picks in thinking that at some point Kemper is going to get hurt. Like, we know this story. We've seen this story every year with Darcy Kemper. No matter what team he's on, he's going to miss some time at some point throughout the course of the season. And a lot of people that I trust in the goaltending world said that Lindgren could have been one of the more underrated signings of the offseason that nobody's talking about. Now we're seeing it bear fruit. So I don't know what happens when Kemper comes back, when he's healthy, if we're looking at more of a split between these two guys. But as you guys both know, it's very difficult for Darcy Kemper to stay healthy. And I think hanging on to Charlie Lindgren, especially in deep leagues, is probably going to pay off, at least for the time being.
Yeah, my question is what goalie can stay healthy? And speaking of the goaltending conversation, this is a mailbag edition of the show. We do it every Thursday, Jake. I'm playing you this week in your league. Jacob Markstrom, we always get a lot of questions on the Calgary Flames specifically, but Jacob Markstrom, what is your belief or lack thereof in Markstrom finding a way to turn things on here in the second half of this season?
Well, he doesn't look good. We know that. I think we can all see that, but I do believe in him long-term because there's enough on this file. Markstrom's not one of these goaltenders that we've just seen for 1 year and he played well. And then now all of a sudden he's struggling this year. We've seen him for years now in the NHL and we've seen that he's a very consistent goaltender wherever he's played. So I trust him to figure it out. I trust him to get out of it. My issue, guys, is that the Flames to me just don't look any good right now. Like it's hard for me to get behind this Calgary Flames team. I keep waiting for them to figure it out. And I think I was willing to give them maybe a month into the season. Obviously new pieces coming in. Daryl Sutter's trying to figure out the right line combinations. We're getting close to Christmas now. And this team to me still looks flat. They still look confused out there. I think they're still trying to figure out the right line combination. So I would say, obviously there's concern with Markstrom. I think he's going to figure it out, but I think my concern more lies with the team as a whole. I feel like the Flames need to figure it out in front of Markstrom before he can have that long-term success.
Yeah. I think the Calgary Flames, like their metrics are strong, but you're still like, I even posed the question the other day, do the Flames have enough offense to make the playoffs this year? Futures wise, you can't say with certainty that they do, right? They lost a lot in the off season. And the guys that they brought in to replace them, Jake, are not stepping up to the plate and delivering quite yet. I still think they have the capability to do so. The Huberdeaux, the Uyghurs. Uyghur missed the game with an illness. You can't control that. But even when Uyghur was playing, I mean, he has not been the dominant even strength force or even a shell of that compared to the past 2 years.
Huberdeaux has to be one of the most disappointing fantasy stories of the year, right, guys? Based on where he was drafted.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could think of a few more, but with where he was drafted in fantasy league's first couple rounds and the production you're getting from him right now, and even eye test when I watch it, just it doesn't look like the same Jonathan Huberdeaux, the confidence level that he had with Florida last year.
Jake, I want to throw myself through the TV when I, you know, see people talk about the Vancouver Canucks. Now I guess they're back in the playoff conversation. Like, they're the best middling team in NHL history, man. This is what they do. And then every week there's a new player on the trade block. I don't know how it would be to play there. I know they got fantastic sushi in Vancouver. That's about it. But what do you make of the Canucks from an NHL perspective and also from a fantasy perspective? It's a much different story, right? They score quite a bit.
Yeah, here we go again with Vancouver. I think from a betting perspective, I can get in on them as an underdog against good teams because I actually think they have the capability of beating anybody on any given night. They also have the capability of losing to anybody on any given night. So maybe they're a team if they get into a favorite situation against the team that's worse than them in the standings, you can fade them and kind of play that angle. I'm not buying into it, Nick. I can't do it with this team again. I know they went on that great run last year. They can't hold a lead to save their life. They can win games. They can come back in games. They can certainly score. And I do like what they have up front. Obviously, Kuzmenko's having a nice season coming over from Russia. There's some nice individual stories. Bo Horvat, what he's doing in terms of goal scoring this year. Even Spencer Martin coming in with Thatcher Demko struggling and now hurt. He's been playing well. I don't think that the mix is all there. And I feel like with the way that they defend and the way that they can't hold leads, they're just not going to win a lot of games. But from a fantasy perspective, I do think there's value in them offensively because they've proven that they can score and there is some good individual stories going on here.
So for a few years, we've been talking about the Canucks for potential trades, but they don't always happen. Like last year, JT Miller didn't happen and then they re-signed him. So now this year it shifts to Bo Horvat, Brock Besser. Jake, which guy are you more excited about fantasy-wise if they do get traded to another team? Bo Horvat's ceiling's pretty darn high as it is right now, so I don't know that he's going to get a better opportunity elsewhere, but you never know. And then I think Brock Besser always has that untapped goal scoring potential we've been talking about for years, but it just hasn't happened.
It's Bo Horvat for me. I just think he's a better player than Brock Besser, and he can play in all situations, right? You can have him killing penalties. He can play first line center. I don't look at him as a high end first line center in the NHL, but I look at him as a solid first line center in the league. And obviously those are very valuable around the NHL, and he's proven not just this year, but even in previous years that he can score goals. And I just think he's a more consistent player than Brock Besser. I do think Besser has some interest though, right? You put him with the right center, you put him with the right line combination. He's proven as well that he can score. It's just, I don't know if I trust it as much as Bo Horvat. And with this news out there and the Vancouver rumor mill swirling, I am very interested to see if anybody steps up and makes a legit offer for Bo.
I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to go with Brock Besser, Pete. I just think he's a perfect type of player that could benefit from a trade, right? It seems to have not been working there. He seems to show flashes in the last little while, the last couple of years specifically. I just think he's a perfect example, Pete, of a guy who gets traded and goes off. I don't know where that destination is going to be, but I think from a fantasy perspective of those two names, knowing that Horvat's in a contract year, knowing that he's probably peaking right now, it'd be Brock Besser for me. How about you?
Definitely Horvat, but I think if Besser lands, he would have to land with an elite center, like one that comes to mind. Like, look at over the past few years, all the big names that have been linked to the New York Islanders, but they just can't reel in the fish, right? The big fish. It's too much for them. So they couldn't get Johnny Gaudreau in free agency. It was down to the Rangers and them for Panarin a couple years ago in free agency. No good there. And then I guess they could be in play for Tarasenko if the Blues fall out of it too. But I'm still looking at, especially with Barzal, Jake, having such an elite bounce back season as a distributor, obviously still has a very low shooting percentage this season. So maybe even room for him to reach another gear, maybe bringing in a guy like Besser or a Tarasenko, if the situation presents itself, could be a huge home run for the Islanders.
Feels like it would be a great fit, really. Just, and it kind of feels like we've been trying to find that fit for the Islanders for a while, and just a little bit extra scoring. You know, Besser's not, or he's not necessarily 40-50 goal guy, but I think he's a guy that can slot in there and give them a little bit more. And, you know, just imagining him and Barzal on the same line, I think that works a lot. So we'll see what happens. It's what goes back to what Nick said, though. It feels like every year we get this with Vancouver. We get these trade rumors. Then all of a sudden they string a few wins together and they're like, no, never mind. We're not going to trade our guys. We feel like we have a cup contender here, which I would disagree with. I don't think the Canucks have a cup contender. Maybe they go on a run and string some wins together, but I don't see them anywhere close to a cup or even the playoffs this year.
Pretenders, I'd love to see two Brocks on the same team. Brock Nelson, my guy, still 28% of people or teams don't own this guy in fantasy hockey. What are you doing? Because that's all we do is talk about Brock Nelson on this pod, and we want to give some love as well to Brock Besser. To some fan questions, Pete and Jake, lots about Dominik Kubalik. And Pete, knowing, you know, I talk on a daily basis, Kubalik's a guy I own. I'm starting to wonder if now's the time. He's pointless in four straight. Dylan Larkin's banged up. We'll get to some injury replacements momentarily. But what would you do with a guy like Dominik Kubalik, Jake? And another question we got, would you trade him for Shane Pinto in terms of a waiver wire move?
That's an interesting one. I think, you know, Pinto's been sort of up and down. He had that great start to the season, then he went away. Now he's kind of starting to heat it up again. Ottawa's got a couple of injuries, so I do think that there's roles in that top six. There's power play time for Pinto as well. Long-term, I still do like Kubalik. I think he's going to be locked into that top six in Detroit. I think this is just a little bit of a blip for him, and he likes to shoot the puck a lot. He's proven that this year, that he's not afraid to shoot. So long as he stays on that first power play unit, I still think that he has value. So personally, I wouldn't give up on him yet. You know, you've got him and Perron there kind of flanking that power play. I think when Larkin gets healthy, it's only going to help things as well. So I just don't see the Cube slipping out of that top six. I think he's going to lock in there basically all season. I would take him over Pinto. I'm not sure I necessarily trust Pinto's spot all season.
I like the exposure for Pinto, and of course, Pinto, Long Island represent, let's go. So anyway, but Pinto has exposure to either DeBrincat, he has Giroux. Giroux's having a nice little season, by the way.
Yeah.
And then it's an interesting comparison too, when you look at, these were those two teams we were debating in the preseason, right, guys? Like which team, Ottawa or Detroit, could maybe take the next step and come in? I feel like maybe we could see things level off a little bit where, obviously, Detroit had a much better start to the season than Ottawa, but Ottawa's playing well despite some major injuries, like you said, Jake. to Josh Norris and Tim Stützle. Stützle sounds like maybe 7 to 10 days. That is dodging a bullet there. They can't afford any more long injury absences in Ottawa.
Well, it's great to see some of these guys step up. Like, I think they're proving that they're deep offensively. Like, they've got guys that can step up. Obviously, winning games has been a problem for them in general. But from a fantasy perspective, I think a lot of these players can be extremely valuable. And, you know, we've seen Thomas Chabot come back from injury and look pretty good as well on the back end, quarterbacking that first power play unit. We got a taste of Jake Sanderson, too, early in the year. And, you know, he kind of slotted in there for Chabot. He got some more power play time. He looked really good doing it. So maybe not a ton of fantasy value this season for Jake Sanderson, because I think he's going to have a tough time cracking that first power play unit unless they get more injuries, but someone to keep an eye on for the future. Absolutely. He looks like a legit player on the back end.
We got to label this episode pretenders and contenders, because you look at Detroit and the Ottawa Senators, they're absolute pretenders. I don't think either of these teams are going to the Stanley Cup playoffs, Jake. I think I look specifically at Detroit, 4 straight losses. You sprinkle in the Larkin injury, Bertuzzi. I mean, they've been banged up this season. So they've taken that next step. Both teams have. But who has the brighter pipeline of those two teams? Is it Detroit or Ottawa, in your opinion?
I think long-term, it probably could be the Ottawa Senators, just based on what I said about Jake Sanderson on the back end. Obviously, Detroit's got Mo Sider, and he's having a bit of a down year, but he looked great last year, and I think he's going to be really good long-term as well. I still like the pieces that Ottawa has. If they can keep this group together, I think they're going to figure it out at some point moving forward. I have been impressed by Detroit. We were waiting for them to take some sort of step, but I agree with you. I don't think playoffs are there when I look at this roster, when I look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference and how competitive it's going to be with some of these top teams. And now we are starting to see even teams like Washington figure it out in the Metro and make their move. So long-term, Nick, I'm going to say Ottawa. I just think that those pieces up front are very exciting, and having Chabot and Sanderson on the back end, I think tells me that at some point over the next couple of years, the Sens are going to figure it out and maybe make a push at the playoffs.
And another injury concern, Philip Hronek left the game, their big breakout star.
He got smoked.
Yes.
Train tracks.
Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he doesn't miss much time. They were saying he wanted to come back into the game, but he was in concussion protocol. So hopefully he doesn't miss any time. But maybe now is a buy low window on Mo Sider just because of that development. I know Hronek kind of unseated him on the first power play, which was surprising. Maybe we didn't think it was going to last anyway, but just something to keep an eye on with that injury development from last night.
Definitely. I just wanted to add to on Larkin, internal replacements, Michael Rasmussen, Andrew Kopp has been much better the last little while. I think externally, Jack Roslovic, JT Compher with Colorado, Michael Backlund now on a 5-game point streak with Calgary, Anthony Cirelli, Jake has 6 assists in 5 games since coming back, Yanni Gourde and Dylan Strome. Luckily, I think, you know, the one thing I will say, Jake, about the waiver wire, there's always a ton of depth that you can find in that waiver wire, right?
Yeah, you got to look. You got to be able to find it. And obviously, looking at line combinations to me is the big key. If you have the ability to do it during the day and kind of look at practice lines and morning skate lines, you could find value. And I think that's the fun part about playing in these deep leagues. Like it's easy to be playing in a shallow league where you can make the obvious pickup, the top player that's there, the guy that's hot that has, you know, 7 points in his last 5 games. But I like to kind of scour through the wire in these deeper leagues and find the guy that maybe is getting a good line assignment for the night or maybe getting a little bit of power play time. So there is value there. We're seeing a lot of injuries in the league as well, right? And if you can keep your eye on that, you see an injury, you know, somebody's going to have to step up and fill that role. So if you're on top of it, I think you could definitely win your league just based on those sneaky streams and guys getting great assignments.
I got a name to bring up off the waiver wire that I never thought I'd be mentioning on this show ever again. Craig Anderson, 41 years old, has a .921 save percentage for the Buffalo Sabres and is getting, you know, just so much goal support when he starts. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is as well, but has a bad save percentage. So Jake, do you dare to touch Craig Anderson on the waiver wire? I mean, I feel like he's just sitting out there and performing and nobody's really benefiting from it.
Nobody wants to buy into a 40-plus-year-old Craig Anderson, but I'd give him some starts, like in the right spot. I think you could certainly use him. I feel like he's proven that he's just a competitor, man. Like if you're still playing at the NHL at that age and you're playing for a Buffalo team that, like, I don't want to say they're going nowhere. I think long-term they're going somewhere, but this year, I think we can all agree the Sabres aren't winning any sort of Stanley Cup or going on an extended run. Craig Anderson's still out there playing. He's still out there competing every single night. So I would give him a look. I certainly would throw him in there for certain games. And Sabres have been hot and cold, but I think they've proven they can certainly hang with some top end teams. And Craig Anderson's definitely been the better goaltender. It upsets me a little bit because I want Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to be the guy just because that's such a great name, but he's getting outperformed by 40 plus year old Craig Anderson right now. And I got to tip the cap. Anytime I see a guy at that age still getting it done, it's very impressive to me.
Yeah, you definitely have to pick your spot, but I do tip the chapeau as well. I can't remember the last time the Buffalo Sabres played a Stanley Cup playoff game. And ultimately, that's all I care about, are teams that actually win in the Stanley Cup playoffs when it matters. I'm really ripping on these Atlantic Division teams today. I don't know why. I just got that mood, that feeling. It's the holiday season, fellas. A question here via a fan on Instagram. Love everybody out there. Kirby Dach, keep or drop, Jake?
Keep. Absolutely keep. I really like the spot that he's in Montreal. And I kind of like this Habs team. I think they're going to be sneaky. They're kind of hovering around NHL 500 this year. They compete when I watch them every single night. So, you know, Marty St. Louis has them playing as a unit. Yeah, they probably lack talent compared to some of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, but I like the effort on a night-to-night basis. And I think for Kirby Dach, a young player that, you know, gets drafted so high, gets traded so early in his career, I think this is prove it time for him. He's like, okay, Chicago didn't want me. They traded me already after just a couple of seasons. I get to go to Montreal. I'm playing with some talented players here. We got Caulfield, Suzuki. You can kind of go down the list. I think he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder this year. And we're only a couple years removed from him looking like the most impressive rookie out of his class when he instantly came into the league and looked comfortable. Injuries derailed him a little bit. I think he's back to looking really good. I would keep Kirby Dach, and I have a feeling his numbers continue to go up as the season rolls on here.
So, Jake, another injury to a player that's heavily rostered in fantasy, Jason Zucker, Pittsburgh Penguins, week to week with a lower body injury. Is there anyone you see stepping up and producing some fantasy returns here in the Penguins top six? I know Kapanen had a couple of good games, but is pretty erratic. Let me know if there's anybody on Pittsburgh that jumps out.
Kapanen's interesting. If he gets that decent line assignment with Evgeny Malkin, we've seen him play with Malkin in the past and have some success. So again, it goes back to our conversation about checking out those line combos, because it feels like Pittsburgh kind of has their first line locked in now. It's Crosby, it's Gensel, and it's Raquel. And Raquel has been a revelation for them this year. And we all know about Raquel in fantasy hockey. He's up and down, but I think he's up right now with that line combination, and you've got Rust playing with Malkin on the second line. So I think whoever gets that other spot on the second line with Rust and Malkin is the guy you want to target. And if they do give Kapanen a look, we know that he can be productive in the fantasy circle. So that's where I would look to right now with Zucker out of the lineup, see if Kasperi Kapanen can maybe get a decent assignment and get something going here.
Poor Zucker just can't stay healthy, right? Like, it just every year there's something different. And fortunately for Pittsburgh, they have so much depth on that roster. I was a year late on Ricky Raquel. Like, I've been after this guy for 3 years. He had his monster season a couple years back with the Ducks and just can't find the consistency. All of a sudden, Pete, it happens this year when I don't own him, right? Naturally.
Yeah, and there are other guys like Danton Heinen. And I know earlier in the year we saw a nice stretch from Brock McGinn. They have some guys to plug and play, and they always seem to find a way when these guys are missing because of injuries. So, you know, hand it to Pittsburgh. I mean, they're really, when you were talking about, Jake, how the Red Wings are losing some stock and Buffalo's not in contention right now just yet, and the Senators are heating up, but they're still a ways away. It speaks to the Metropolitan Division and the staying power of these teams. Bounce back appeal of the Islanders entering the season has really been a huge thing fantasy wise. And that team seems to be providing more offense than they have in recent years. So it's kind of like those. And of course the Devils have come down to earth a little bit lately, but they're still in that mix as well. Considerably, the Devils would have to really collapse to miss the playoffs here.
Well, and the East is so stacked, guys. Like, we did the math and we went over some of the numbers on our show recently and just how some of these teams are separating. Like, Boston wins every night, and New Jersey, yeah, they've lost a couple games recently, but when you watch those games, they still looked good. They still look like they're going to continue to rhyme off wins. The Leafs win every single night. So a lot of these teams, even Tampa now, is on this great run. And I think you're just going to see these teams continue to separate. And if you're one of these chase pack teams in the Eastern Conference that still thinks you can make the playoffs, there's only going to be one or two spots for you. Maybe it's just like if you go pull up the Eastern Conference standings right now and you just say, okay, this team's in, this team's definitely in, this team's in, all of a sudden you're at 6-7 teams really quick. And there's, you know, two or three other teams that feel like they should make it. So I just think you can't wait around too much in the East. It's the opposite in the West. Teams are waiting around. You can get into the playoffs in the West, but in the East, I think you got to get going right now, like how Washington is to get themselves back in this thing, or some of these teams are just going to do an absolute drive by on you.
That's the one concrete thing I've noticed so far in this season. The Eastern Conference is way better than the Western Conference, guys, which leads me to players who have delivered the last little while. We'll start with Peak, then go to Jake. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time now for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have, Pete?
It's got to be Pyotr Kochetkov for me. I mean, he's pretty heavily rostered now, but for a while, this guy was still one of those guys that you look at and say, oh, you know, Freddie Anderson's eventually going to come back. They still have Raanta. They still have Anderson. No, this is Pyotr Kochetkov's team here and now. And those two other guys may not be able to wrestle it away from him. He's the goalie of the future. He's the goalie of the present. He's pulling a Shesterkin, what Shesterkin did a couple of years, Jake, and the rest could be history here.
I love Kochetkov. I picked him up in one of my leagues, and it was almost just kind of on a whim with the Carolina goaltending injuries, thinking, hey, I'll take anybody that starts. I'll take Alberga if he's starting for the Canes, the way that they can lock things down. And now he's just kind of running with it. So I don't know what happens when they get fully healthy, but he signed the contract now. Clearly they like the guy. Clearly they trust him. So I feel like he's going to continue to earn more starts. I'm going to go with Alex DeBrincat here, guys. I have him in two of my leagues, and he's just been absolutely killing it the last handful of games here. Timmy Stützle, like you guys mentioned earlier, is out of the lineup. It looks like he's dealing with something for the next week or so. And DeBrincat is locked in on that first power play unit. I think Ottawa needs to keep him on that first power play unit. I don't need to see DeBrincat on PP2 anymore. This guy needs to be on the first power play and be the shooter on this team. And this is where he's having a lot of success. He's been killing it on the power play all season. That's where most of his points are coming. And as we know in fantasy hockey, we love the power play points. So I'm going to give a shout out for Alex DeBrincat. He's delivering for my fantasy team this week.
Jake, this is why we had a very, very impressive show on NHL Network Radio for years, because we're always in sequence. I'm normally a dog guy, but I'm a cat guy in this scenario. Alex DeBrincat, 7-game point streak, 3 goals, 10 points, 7 power play points, 24 shots on goal. Pretty simple. This guy's been an absolute beast. Specifically, you know, the way he started this season, he's been much, much better lately here for the Ottawa Senators. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip. Skip is the official food delivery app of the NHL. Also, hit us up with a reply. Who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week, Pete?
Yeah, and I forgot to, I don't know if I mentioned it, but back-to-back shutouts for Kochetkov. That's why he's at the top of my mind right now,
yes, sir,
for the Carolina Hurricanes. So, Jake, before we let you go, I wanted to just touch on Ovechkin. Big matchup on Thursday against the Dallas Stars. This is a real team. He's not going to get a hat trick most likely against them compared to the Chicago Blackhawks. But what do you think happens on Thursday? Do you think he ties or passes Gordie Howe? It's a huge spotlight for him. And I think he's back also in the, you know, the race for goal leader, right? At the end of the year, he's sixth with 20 goals on the season.
Yeah, with the way he can score in bunches and obviously with his empty net prowess, he could certainly push those guys at the top. And who knows what happens in terms of health with some of those guys as well. He's not going to get to face Peter Mrazek in this game, unfortunately, guys. If he faced Mrazek every game, I think he passes Gretzky this year. That's probably what Ovi would like, to face Mrazek every single night. But obviously the Stars are a much better team than the Blackhawks. I think everybody kind of knows now what's going on, and you don't want to be the team that gives up the big goal against Ovi. Like, we saw Patrick Kane backchecking for maybe the first time in his career and going headfirst into the boards trying to stop that goal the other night because they didn't want to be the team that gives it up. Ultimately, they do. I'm going to say no for Ovi now. I feel like he's got a flair for the dramatics, guys. And I'm looking at the schedule. Obviously, they've got the Stars Thursday night, but they've got the Leafs in Washington on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. I know the Leafs are good defensively. They've been winning every single night, and there's not a lot of chances usually against them. But I kind of like Ovi to either tie it or break it on Saturday against the Maple Leafs. Like I said, he's got that flair for the dramatics, doing it on Hockey Night on a Saturday at home in Washington. That just feels like the right time to pass Gordy.
So, Jake, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know, say I want to organize a party, 894s in the periphery for Alex Ovechkin. I want to order a bunch of food from Skip the Dishes, and I want to invite you guys over. We're going to watch this game. We're going to watch history. If you were to handicap things, when is this happening? Because it's happening, right?
It's definitely happening. And I've been on this bandwagon, I guess, for a little while. I think some people took a little bit more time to get there. You know, some people were talking about it years and years ago saying, hey, like, look what's going on here. If you project the numbers out and health and all of that. So I think when you're looking at it, if he continues on the pace that he's on this year, and I have no reason to believe why he's not. And I just think he's carved out such a niche for himself now, guys. Like, he's not going to go end to end and beat you anymore. He's going to stand there on the power play for a full 4 minutes. If they have a 4 minute power play, it's going to be out there in every empty net situation. So he's going to continue to score goals. I think we're looking not at next year's season, but early in the season afterwards, maybe actually around the time that we're talking right now, maybe like Christmas time, a couple of years from now. I think that's when you can plan the party, Alberga. So tentatively maybe plan that party at your place. I'm obviously RSVPing. Yes. And we can all get together and we can watch Ovi pass Gretzky, because I agree. I do think it is happening at some point. It's inevitable. Well,
I'm going to sign you in pen, buddy. You're coming, and Skip the Dishes is going to hook us up for sure. We appreciate your time. You always hook us up. Thanks so much, buddy.
Always great talking to you, boys. Have a happy holidays, all the listeners out there.
And Nick, since we were just talking so much about Alex Ovechkin and his milestone and his impact on the sport, definitely everybody should check out Barry Trotz, his former Capitals coach, who we hope to see back in the NHL sometime soon. He was on with Darren Millard on the Chirp, so definitely check that out and listen.
Definitely going to. And certainly I think you look at the legacy and the career of Alex Ovechkin, man, you just think it's going to end, and it just keeps going and going and going, and this chase is going to be something else over the next couple of years here.
Yeah, it is. And the crazy thing, the awesome thing really, is he never gets injured. I really hope I don't jinx him, but he really never gets injured. He's built for this. He's built even more so than like a Jagr was in the later stages of his career to sustain it. Jagr got slower, you know, he had to change the way he played. Ovechkin can throw his body around, but doesn't too much. He doesn't get himself into trouble, and he also doesn't, you know, bang up his body too much. So he really has the perfect blend of everything. And this year is so unique in that he doesn't have Backstrom and Wilson. He's doing this with players like Dylan Strome and Connor Sheary, who are both, you know, Strome's on a one-year contract, Sheary's in a contract year. Those guys have a lot to prove, but the way that this team has kind of resurrected while a lot of these guys are still out, and then Orlov came back and Oshie came back and the other guys are still on the horizon. He could get even better the rest of the season. That's why I mentioned him as maybe unlikely to catch like a McDavid, but to get back in the conversation, especially in the midst of this chase for the Rocket Richard, it's a real possibility.
The best thing about this, too, is that Sidney Crosby is having a hell of a year or two. And I think when push comes to shove, you never know. Down the line in 30 years, both these guys could be on the Mount Rushmore in the NHL world. Like, I think that strongly about them, Pete.
Without question. So, Nick, I wanted to get one other fan question. So the LA Kings are reeling right now. We talked about them and we were down on Kempe and Jonathan Quick on the previous show, and you know, Arvidsson's hot and cold, but they really had a lot of guys earlier in the season that people were tapping into, and they're still in playoff position right now. Maybe a team like Vancouver could catch them. We'll see if that happens. But with LA, are you dropping some of these guys? Like, you drop a Drew Doughty, you drop an Anze Kopitar, right? I mean, you don't drop a Kevin Fiala because he's having a great season regardless of lineup placement, but everybody else is kind of fair game right now.
I agree. And firstly, I had dinner with our guy, Isaiah Mustafa, last night, big time Los Angeles Kings fan. He says, what's up? Of course, he does the intro to this fantastic podcast, and he's feeling it too. He did this road trip sort of with this team, went to Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, Toronto. He's seen LA pretty much lose everywhere. And I'll be honest, like, this guy's scorched earth right now when it comes to the LA Kings, and rightfully so. They can't keep the puck out of the net. To answer your question, I think it's pretty definitive. Like, you nailed it. Kopitar and Fiala are the guys I'm keeping. Doughty's probably on the fringe, and everybody else I think can go, Pete. Like, this has been one of the bigger disappointments from a team perspective in this fantasy campaign, because I thought LA was going to be a lock. You add Fiala, especially Gabe Vilardi, that start he had, you knew they were in an upwards trajectory. You thought Byfield was going to take that next step. Just hasn't happened for this team, and they've been sort of lacked by a team like Seattle, right?
Right. And, you know, props market be all over Trevor Moore because he just keeps it going. The shots just keep flowing. So maybe don't drop him. He's over 100 shots on the season, I believe. So that's an impressive stat. Sean Durzi had that stretch of six straight games with a power play point playing on the second unit. Doughty got injured the other day. You thought maybe this is Durzi's time, but now Doughty's back and Durzi four straight games without a power play point. So it's kind of one of those things where he's not even someone that you're going to try to keep at all costs anymore.
It is a put up or shut up time in the NHL world, the fantasy world, Pete. Just you hover around the holiday season, then next thing you know, it's January. Next thing you know, we're on the beach at All-Star Weekend, right?
Yes, definitely looking forward to the holidays, looking forward to being back down in Florida. It's been a couple of years since I've been down there, but we're going to have me down there, you down there, Anna down there. So it's going to be a really good time. And thanks again to Jake Hahn for hopping on. Always brings the goods, and he was in the holiday spirit, right? Where our producer Bobby was telling him to put a star on his tree, but he had a nice backdrop. Jake's ready for the holidays. He's always ready for the show.
Yes, he is always ready to go, and we thank all our guests here during the season. Let's pull a bow on this, Pete.
For Jake Hahn, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you next Monday for Waiver Wire Week 11.